today, Rob, look at a couple of miracles that we've seen that we just got back from Uganda, and there were like 30, those church seats, 26,000. They had another 4,000 plus in the building. So we had 30,000 in the building, and then outside of the building was another 20, 25,000. And so they estimate we ministered to about 55,000 people there. Yeah. And they said we could have got the stadium, but this is bigger than the stadium. So I believe we'll do something different. But, you know, remarkable miracles happened, and they can happen through you. That's the thing. It's not by some special entitlement or anything of that nature. It is the design of God for the believer to represent Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and his redemptive plan through God. So let's watch these miracles, and then we'll be right back with you, and we'll get into the Word today.
She'd been totally dead.
Totally dead. 19 years. But tonight,
19 years. Totally
she
dead.
Here.
Omukyala ono gwe mulaba amaze emyaka 19 nga tawulira amatugo mbiri. Tawulirangako emyaka 19 gy'amaze nga muzibe w'amatu era gy'emyaka gye tawulirangako.
She has never heard it. Speak in her ear now.
Nyabo kati ngenda kwogera mu matu. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. For 19 years, God has opened up her ears.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory.
Come here,
Spinal cord injury.
Omani onabate mulade wankisi.
He has brought his X-ray.
I nasa kisho kama
buario. When you pray the prayer of faith,
we'll say the kisha.
The terrible pain in his shoulder.
Omani onabate mulade wankisi.
Down his arm. And through this part of his body.
Was that his neck too?
His neck.
Yes. That. Oh, remember, I said that a man got hit.
That's right.
You remember when we said a man got hit inside of the neck? This is that man. Come on, God healed this man.
Well, we're glad that you understand the power that you have as a believer. When the Holy Ghost comes on the inside of you, it is a transforming of the human body into really a walking billboard, an epistle, a declaration of what man and God can do joined together.
That's and the hand of God.
There you go. Yeah, I like to, you know, we think that we are people that we're just, but we're not common. We are people with God on the inside
That's
of us.
Right. Yeah.
You know, people might not understand that, but the bottom line is we can't draw back from that statement,
no.
And we don't want to weaken it to make other people comfortable with it.
Yeah.
God is in us. And Jesus said, if you don't believe that God's in me, the Father of all creation, the
yeah.
Father of Israel is in me, then believe me for the very work's sake.
Yeah.
That's what Nicodemus said. Look, you couldn't be doing what you're doing if God wasn't with him.
Yeah.
Now, Nicodemus was under the old covenant, joined with God,
yeah.
but God wasn't joined with Nicodemus.
Exactly.
And so there was an extreme difference.
He's seen that.
Yeah.
Stark difference between what you have and what I have.
There you go. Yes, absolutely. So we're going to start. We have been talking about the gift of tongues, Rob, and how it is an utterance given by the Holy Ghost. And we know that it's not just other languages
yeah.
of other countries, because in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter
yeah.
and verse 2, it says, "For if a man that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries."
Amen.
Now, it would seem to me that no man
yeah.
would mean like no man.
Yeah.
Unless there's some deeper understanding in the Greek or Hebrew, or maybe God didn't mean that. Maybe we all just, I don't black that out. But it says when a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaketh unto men, but unto God. But then we go down here in verse 5.
Yeah.
And it says, read verse 5 and 6 there, Rob.
It says, I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine?
Okay, so here we see that there, in verse 2, we see that there is a tongue that speaks unto God, no man can understand.
That's right.
And then we come down here and we see that there is a tongue that is used to speak to the church.
Yeah.
And it's to receive an edification when it's interpreted. Now, will you read verse 4?
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
Now we have a tongue that speaks to himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak to men to be interpreted, and he's not speaking to God.
Yeah.
But he is speaking to himself.
Yeah.
And if we go over and we find, I think that it's in, let's look at verse 13 or 14? Oh, let's go to, I'm looking for the part that says, but if there be no interpreter, then you're probably going to be quicker at it than I am.
Where is that? I'm looking here.
How about 14:28?
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't down far enough. There we go. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God.
Now, there we have these three tongues being brought together. If there is no interpreter, let him not speak for interpretation, because there is none, but let him speak unto himself and unto God. Now here, just in the basic definition or premises of the assembly, there are three different types of tongues that are or could be used.
Yes.
The only one that is excluded is the one that, if there's no interpreter.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that if it says, if a man speaks in an unknown tongue, but if there is no interpreter, so it would tell me that you and I would be able to tell the difference.
The difference in it, absolutely.
There would be a difference in that the three languages or the three utterances that people would speak, even just in the simplicity of the defines of the assembly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we would know.
Yeah.
Not only would we know, Rob, there are three different kinds. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that if anybody would speak in tongues, that they should begin to grow in their use of this supernatural
language.
Utterance to the point that at least these three would be able to be manifest through him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we shouldn't just be stuck on what I call an evidential tongue.
Yeah.
If we're stuck on an evidential tongue, it's not a prayer language. People say, well, you received your prayer language. But in 1 Corinthians 10th chapter, when Cornelius received the Holy Ghost and his band of Italians, then they didn't pray. Yeah. It said they heard them magnify God.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with prayer. And then when we go to Acts 19th chapter, Paul here heard them speak with tongues.
Yeah.
He doesn't come to any conclusion or give us any insight into it. But he said he heard them speak with tongues and prophesied as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Yeah.
So here there are supposed to be at least a minimal in a believer's life three. So you can speak to God, and it didn't say magnify God, but to speak to God. Mm. But there could be what Cornelius did, magnify God. That wouldn't be speaking to God.
Yeah.
That would be praising him, adoring him, magnifying him. But it wouldn't be speaking to him about the secrets and the mysteries. So therefore, now we have four different types of tongues. Defined in the scriptures.
And as we grow and mature, we should be able to operate in all four kinds.
And in fact, many more. Many more. Now, I'm going to give you a testimony. This doesn't mean that I'm sure that there are thousands of hundreds of thousands of people that are doing this or used this way. But one day, I came up to, in our church, the size of it, we have a place where if you're going to bring forth a prophecy or tongues or interpretation, we want people to hear it. And it should be done decently and in order. And so should all tongues be brought under the order of the service that is being defined from the pulpit.
Yeah.
And if you get out of order, then, you know, we need instruction. We would be rebuked, according to 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, that, you know, rebuking and instructing and chastising with all long-suffering is a way of life. That's just, you know, and so... But I came to the microphone, and I began to speak in tongues, and my wife was holding the microphone, and she said, "Do you want to interpret?" And I said, "No, somebody else is going to."
Yeah.
Well, there's a woman, a little lady called Barb Banks, beloved of our church. She since has went to heaven, and but she started interpreting.
Yeah.
And so she interpreted like no, only Barb could interpret. And so... then, during the offering, I have a person from Nigeria in my church. And the person came up to me and said, "Pastor, could I speak to you?" And I said, "Okay, you later?" Or, "No, no." He said, "I need to talk to you now, I think." And I said, "Okay, what do you got?" He said, "Well, while you were speaking in tongues, you were speaking a Nigerian dialect that is unique to my Providence."
Wow.
And he said, and I understood, he's a first generation, and he goes to Nigeria and travels and so forth. But he said, and then that woman on the other side of the sanctuary, she began to prophesy almost verbatim what you said in a Nigerian language.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Absolutely. So then this weekend I was in Herkimer, New York. Which is... kind of like an Italian band. It's not Cornelius's, but it's a band of Italians live there, and a bunch of them. And so much, I'm not sure there's a Chinese restaurant there. I think it's all Italian. And so, but I went to pray for this man, which was my administrator's stepfather on his wife's side.
Yeah.
So it's his wife's stepfather. And he asked for prayer, so I went back and I laid hands on him, and I started speaking in tongues. Mm. And so Eric's wife, Angela's mom, came up to Eric and said, "I didn't know Pastor spoke Italian." And I know Eric's brain. He can't hardly speak English. "What are you doing?" He said, "He doesn't speak Italian." She said, "Well, I'm Italian. Yeah. I know Italian." And she was first generation Italian.
Yeah.
And she said he was not only praying for Dan, but he was also speaking to him, personal words that were telling him what God was saying about him. "You are my disciple."
Yeah.
And so he was decreeing things over him as well as I was praying for him, and I was doing it in tongues.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
So I'm bilingual.
Yeah. Yeah.
I speak English, hillbilly, Nigerian and Italian, and I'm looking to expand my vocabulary. I am looking now. Some would say, "Well, what was the significance of that for the faith of that man?"
Absolutely.
Facing a life and death situation.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It was far significant. Mm-hmm. And if I did that, could speak to myself and edify myself. Think of what that did to him.
Absolutely.
And to his faith level.
Yeah.
And so here we have. I'm praying in tongues. An Ohioan that has a heavy West Virginian influence called Phyllis Dosak. She loses her accent. I get the accent. Praying in New York for Italian.
Yeah.
And God speaking directly
to him.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That is weird. That's like going to McDonald's and seeing some Chinese man eating a burrito in an American restaurant. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But it happened. So what I'm trying to get people to realize, Rob, is that we have these four distinct.
Yeah.
They're laid out in Scripture.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not hard. Yeah. They have been seen in operation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we could come to the conclusion that Paul spoke about the tongue of angels and the tongue of men.
Yeah.
And so then we understand that we got these four manifested, and if we brought in the angelic host, that would be five tongues that Christians should normally operate and function in.
Now, Pastor, would you say that many people operate in these unknowingly? If they have a well-developed prayer language, do they pray
yes.
in tongues? I know for me, I'll be praying in tongues, and I can distinctly tell when my language changes.
Yes.
And I'll go into different modes. And
that does it.
Yeah.
And most people do it unaware.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't have to be. Paul said we don't have to
be ignorant
these spiritual operations.
Yeah.
That we can move in. And it's important that we understand what we're doing at a certain time.
So we can discern.
Because if we're speaking to God in secrets, and we understand that the conversation is not subject to just us, but it includes God.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be rude and just hang up on your neighbor.
Or the church.
The church.
Like it includes God or the church.
But if you're speaking God, you certainly don't want to say, you don't want to look down and say, oh, call failed.
Yeah, exactly.
So we want to be able to interpret how long or discern when God is finished having the conversation with us or invoking. And God is speaking secret things to us.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, hey, God, how's the weather? And, hey, God, I bind the rain so I can go fishing today. And, you know, after I get done catching that 10-pound bass, praise God, let it bring a flood. I don't care. But we don't want to think that that's what prayer is about.
Exactly.
These are the deep secrets, the counsels of God before the foundations of the earth.
Amen.
This is the triune Godhead having come together and laying out our lives and projecting and pinpointing times that things would have to happen in the kingdom of God. Paul was born at an appointed time. Jesus was born at an appointed time. Moses at an appointed time. Jeremiah at an appointed time. And we at an appointed time. And God has millions of things being born at a moment precise to the tenth of a millionth of a second that has to happen.
Absolutely.
And so we are praying about these things.
Yes.
And so we don't want to just hang up on God. But what I want to encourage you to do is when you go to pray, the Bible says in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28, that when we come to ourselves, end of ourselves, we don't know how we should pray.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost, which is our helper, our comforter, he's just going to show us things to come, you know, decree things going to be come, give us utterances for things that are going to come. When he sees that we are at the end of ourselves, we can ask him to give us the utterance.
Absolutely.
Now, people would say, well, I don't know about that. Well, when you lay hands on somebody, get filled with the Holy Ghost, don't you pray, God, give them the Holy Ghost with God, the evidence of speaking tongues?
Yeah.
So you are asking God to give them an utterance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when they were in the upper room, they waited with an anticipation that something was going to happen.
Yep.
And they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we can ask the Holy Ghost, when you come to the end of yourself, you don't know how to pray about something. It doesn't mean that God doesn't know, and it doesn't mean that you're just on your own. Remember, the Holy Ghost is our partner. He is our helper. He is another comforter.
That's right.
So Jesus was a comforter in the journey of the disciples. The Holy Ghost is our comforter.
Yeah.
In other words, when the disciples went to Jesus, Jesus, would you pray? Yep. Yeah. Will you teach me to pray? Yep. What did Jesus do? He gave them an utterance.
That's right. Yeah.
He gave them utterance. This is how you pray.
Yeah.
And in that short prayer that he gave them, called the Lord's Prayer, which really is a prayer of Israel.
Yeah.
And it was instituted and revealed under the old covenant, not the new covenant. And it is the prayer of Israel. It has to do with the father of Israel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was God.
Yeah.
And the Gentiles think that, oh, no, that's our prayer. It's not our prayer.
Yeah.
We swiped it.
Yeah.
We just stole it. And so they pray that prayer. Jesus does what? He gives them utterance.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He gives them utterance. They asked him, give us an utterance. How we should pray. This is how you pray.
Yeah, this is how you do it.
And so they asked Jesus, could we not ask the Holy Ghost? Are we any more sufficient because we can speak in an evidential tongue than we are in just praying what we normally pray? People say, yeah, but God knows what's in every word. Well, God's not stupid. I understand that. But he expects you to use languages and expects you to use your faith and expects you to use what is given to you.
Absolutely.
Could God interpret everything? God can interpret your thoughts because he's able to do above all you ask or think.
But he wants our participation.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. This is a partnership
Absolutely.
To spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just, a man doing what he wants and God doing what he wants. We are in partnership. Not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah.
It's being carried out through us. But it is a willful surrender to the assets or abilities that we have available to us.
Absolutely.
So here's what I do. You don't have to do it like me. You don't have to. I'm just encouraging you to explore, to use your faith for the Holy Ghost that gave you the utterance when he first come in and ask him. It is the gift of tongues.
Yeah.
It's multiple.
Absolutely.
It's plural.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we could go to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, I don't know how to pray about this situation.
Yeah.
Would you give me the utterance?
Yeah.
Now, when he gives you the utterance to pray about something, it wouldn't sound like magnifying God.
Yeah.
If he gave you the utterance to pray about something, it wouldn't be for interpretation.
Yeah.
If he gave you something to pray about, it wouldn't be edifying yourself.
That's right.
It would be addressing God on situation where the Holy Ghost knows the will of God, knows how to present a petition, how to be able to, as it were, to lay before God a petition, an outlay, a plan and a purpose. And God, this is why I'm here. The Bible says, declare unto me why you're here, or declare unto me, speak to me, so that you might be justified by standing in my presence.
Yeah.
And that really brings me to another point is, God expects you to do what you can do, not to always take out the easy way. There are things that you need to do.
Yeah.
If you know somebody has a need or is struggling, you need to go to them instead of just praying for them. Because you go there, you say, God, I want you to bless so-and-so. God's going to be saying, if you know your brother has a need, why aren't you there?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you got two coats. Why aren't you giving him one?
Yeah.
Listen to the other side of the conversation. Now, I don't want to get into that, but you have to come there at a justified point, and you can't just put everything over on here because you have.
Yeah.
If you have two coats, you give one to your brother. Didn't mean God's going to bring a wind, rip one off of you, and put it on him.
Yeah.
So God expects us. Right? We can't just come to the throne of grace for things that are important to the believer to show his love, to show his devotion, to seed his life, to use his faith. You can't escape them by just showing up at the throne of grace.
That's right. So when he's given you the command and the
imperative
to do so,
right?
Like, give your brother
the throne
go.
Of grace is established to obtain grace and mercy in the time of need.
Yeah.
But if you can meet that need, you don't need grace and mercy.
Because grace is going to enable us to do something we can't.
Yes.
Mercy is going to cover us.
Right.
And so,
So so when we come to that place, declare to me, why are you here?
Yeah.
Tell me you've done everything that you can do to stand. Tell me you've come to the end of yourself. Tell me that you've used all that you can for my purpose.
Yeah.
And then I'll enable you to go an extra mile.
Amen. Yeah.
But God expects us to walk the mile.
Yeah, he does.
And well, anyway, that's off the subject. But so I would come to the Father, and I would say, Holy Ghost, and I would talk to him just like I would talk to Jesus, because he is my partner, he's my paraclete, he's my friend, he's my companion, he's my comforter, he's yeah. taken the place of Jesus. And so I would talk to him just like I would Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I would say, Holy Ghost, I don't know what to do in this situation. I know that it needs to be resolved. I know that God's calling me to pray about this, but I don't have a rest in myself that I've prayed sufficiently or adequately that it's come to an end. I need to pray the way that God needs for me to pray. Holy Ghost, I asked you to give me the utterance, and I willfully submit to your wisdom, to your inspiration, to your counsel. And so I am here now as a partner in this endeavor for the kingdom of God. Holy Ghost, give me this utterance.
Yeah.
And then you begin to pray. And remember, Hebrews 4:13, I think, says that there's nothing hid from the eyes of God.
Yeah.
Now, we might not know what the devil is doing, but I tell you what, the Holy Ghost knows right where he's at, right where he's supposed to be, and what he's doing, making sure he don't cross boundaries and gain illegitimate access to our life and things of that nature.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, but he knows where he's at, and he knows what word to say to be gone.
Yeah.
And, know, so we can pray these things. And whether it would be about, you know, God, I don't know how to pray about, this thing in my family. I don't know how to pray about this thing in my ministry. Mm. Of pastors, I don't know how, God, to pray about revival. But, God, I want it, and I've cried out for it. But God, I'm asking you to give me an utterance. Holy Ghost, give me an utterance that will rend the heavens and give birth to revival.
Amen.
So the Holy Ghost will give us that tongue. And you will be able, as you start growing in this, you will start being able to recognize what tongue is being stirred or given to you in a church service or any place else.
Yeah.
And Phyllis one time said, well, I was on a elevator one time, and there was somebody there that was a Hispanic or something, and I felt like I just wanted to start speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I said, did you? She said, no. I said, boy, you missed a great opportunity. So I just rub that in every once in a while. And, you know, hopefully God got to those Hispanics before they never heard the gospel by Phyllis.
Yeah.
But it should have been very impactful. But, you know, sometimes we're afraid. I had this happen. This is a true story. I was in Montreal, Canada. Mm. Monterey is in Mexico, right?
Mexico.
Yeah, okay. I was in Montreal.
Montreal.
And everybody speaks French.
Yeah.
It's the largest French province, and I was holding a day session for leaders, and then I was doing a miracle service, and I was starting next morning. I preached five times Sunday morning, and then we had miracle services through the evening, and that's a long day. What do you do? You go in and take a cup of coffee, get back out, start preaching again, and then they run them out while you're having your coffee. You'd be surprised how many can 1,000 people get out of a building.
Yeah.
How fast?
Yeah.
It's like a bomb threat. There's a bomb! They just disappear.
They're gone.
And so I taught on this right here.
Hmm.
And so there was a young man there, and he goes out, and while he's out that afternoon, he runs into these people that are lost. But he says, you started speaking French, and they said, We don't understand.
Yeah.
And he said, do you understand English? No, we don't understand English. He said, what? So finally they conveyed, we are Russians.
Wow.
So he said, God, help me bear witness to these people of Jesus.
Mm.
So he starts speaking in Russian. Yeah. Now, he doesn't know Russian. He knows his he knows French, and he knows English. Yeah. He starts speaking in Russian, gives them directions, and gives them the address of the church. Wow. Now, I don't know how. He just spoke all this, and they're writing it down. And next morning, they show up in the church service, and he sees them.
Yeah.
And he goes to them. And they, you know, you're our friend. He's thinking, I don't know what you're saying. And so
that's awesome.
That day, I preach, and, you know, and God heals some people. And then we give an altar call, because that's what miracles are for, is to win the lost and to identify who God is and to verify what Jesus has done. And so this man, these people come to Jesus.
That's amazing.
And so he's up there with them. And he raised his hand. He said, I have a testimony. I said, okay. all right. Yeah, we got a few minutes, I guess. And so he gives the testimony of what happened to him. You say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, convince that to those people in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Those two Russian people, husband and wife, got saved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And heard what he was saying. Well, did they hear him in his own dialect? Or did, who cared? Yeah. It was a miracle on either end.
Exactly.
But the point being is that he took it at face value, man. And he believed God.
And he had faith to step out and just start speaking.
Oh, yeah. God, I mean, woo. Yeah. And so, good. But what we have to do is begin to exercise ourselves. Paul said this. When I was a child, I spake as a child.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for you and I to grow up.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for us to get beyond, quote-unquote, Pentecostal riverbanks.
Yeah.
Jesus received the Holy Ghost, but he didn't stay at Jordan. He left Jordan.
Yeah.
And he come back a new identified man. He left Jordan in eyes of John, the son of man. He left Jordan in the eyes of everybody else, the son of Joseph and Mary.
Yeah.
But when he comes back as, in John's eyes, guess what? Now the Son of God that taketh away the sins of the world. World.
Yeah.
But not only that, the Messiah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the fulfillment of Isaiah 35 that says when the Messiah comes, that there'll be three major signs, blind eyes, deaf ears, and dumb, and cripples will walk. And so that's why Jesus said, they even said, could when the Messiah comes, will he do more signs and wonders as this? No. He only had to do those four that were earmarks. And so Jesus comes back, but then in the eyes of the other people, they see him as the prophet.
Yeah.
Until after his resurrection, when they see him as Christ and Lord.
Absolutely.
So that changes their identity. Mm. And so I think that we ought to just rise up.
Yeah.
And we ought to start believing the Bible. We don't want to stay at Jordan and build denominations based upon evidential tongues.
Or stay in the upper room.
Or stay in the upper room.
They didn't stay. They went
Absolutely.
Out.
And so fall down the steps. Praise God and get up and start believing God. But if you just simply exercise this, this is a very simple exercise. Well, what if it doesn't happen? Then you keep at it. Well, what if it doesn't happen next time? Well, you missed the first instruction. Keep at it.
Yeah.
Well, what if I do it six times? Well, you've missed the first time instruction. Keep at it. Because it's not, you can't produce this stuff.
Yeah.
It has to come from God. And so I just encourage you with these five, really five, the angels speaking to a congregation for the purpose of interpretation, edification, speaking in tongues to edify yourself, and praying or speaking to God, and the influence or the utterance to pray when we don't know how to pray. Those languages should be very dominant in a believer's life. But we've not been taught. We've been like born, and we've been given a drink of milk, and then we've just been thrown aside. And we have never matured in the things of God. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible says that in Zechariah 10:1, and I think it's James, the fourth chapter, that there is a latter rain, Rob.
Yeah.
There is an outpouring.
Yeah.
And if we do not grow in the previous pouring, then the outpouring is going to come, but it won't be with the impact if it's poured out on children.
Yeah.
We've received an outpouring of the early church,
yes,
of the childhood nature, as it were. But now we're going to come up into the fullness,
yeah,
of absolutely, the body of Christ, the fullness of Christ, yeah, in us, the fullness, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and there's going to come an outpouring, a latter rain.
Yeah.
And when it says, I'm going to pour my spirit out, yeah, it doesn't say, I'm going to pour it out in dashes. But when God says, you know, first I'm going to pour it out, and then he says, I'm going to latter rain,
yeah,
that means there's something that has never touched this world.
Yeah.
And this world is going to be touched by an outpouring, and the body of Christ is going to be touched by an outpouring.
Amen.
And it's not going to be poured into children that are stammering with their lips and their tongues. Yeah. They are going. It's going to be poured out into men that are going to be prophesying and speaking with the voice of God, as Ezekiel, as the Jeremiahs, as the Daniels. Amen. And I'm telling you, they're going to be revealing. They're going to be erupting the heavens. They're going to be turning, as it were, the heavens into blood. They're going to be turning the waters. They're going to be turning things, yeah, because God said, I'm going to pour it out. He said, I'm going to limit in the first time so you can ask for rain in the latter rain so that the harvest can come to its fullness. But when God pours it out the next time,
amen,
it is going to be bottom up,
yes,
outpour.
Let it come.
And that's what we want. Yeah. But we cannot continue in this childishness and childhoodness that our leaders are teaching us. Please. And I guess maybe even our leaders have never discovered it.
Yeah.
And if they have, maybe they're keeping it hid like Easter eggs. I don't know. But we need, yeah, to hear the fullness of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that Rob, pray for them that,
yeah,
they would just begin to have the courage, the boldness. I know they have the hunger and the thirst because you're watching.
Yeah.
But pray that God would begin to release that upon their lives.
Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, we submit ourselves right now to your wisdom, your will, your ways. And Lord, you have poured out your Holy Spirit upon your church. And Lord, we're asking right now that you make us ready, Lord, that we make ourselves ready, where we would jointly co-labor with you, Lord, for the harvest fields of this world. Lord, loose us in maturity, Lord. Loose the bands that hold us back from growing in faith, Lord, where we will begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and witness these things, as Pastor said, that we will begin to call forth, Lord, and prophesy to the nations and lay hands on the sick. Lord, I pray that, Lord, the former and the latter rain would come together, and that, Lord, we will be a people ready for battle, Lord. We would be a people ready to go into the harvest fields. Lord, that we would not hold back, Lord. That we would not be like children tossed to and fro, Lord, and driven away. But Lord, we would be hungry and thirsty, but Lord, also ready and obedient when you speak. Lord, I pray that we would not just hear, but we would do the things that you speak, Lord, and the things that you command. That a holy boldness would rise up in your church, and that we would awaken from our slumber and sleep, and we will begin to declare the thing and the wonder that you want to do in the world through each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, I pray that this doorway to the supernatural would open up in living rooms right now. And everyone who's watching at their computer, everyone who's watching on their cell phone, Lord, they would begin to tap into the Spirit, the things that you have for them right at this present moment, Lord. Not tomorrow, not next week, right now, Lord. Open up, Lord. Open up, Lord, the doorway, Lord, right in front of them, that they may receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit's power and operation in their life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hey, we're going to see you Thursday morning, 9:00 Eastern Standard Time. Thursday morning, we'll see you there. We're going to be talking about interpretation of these tongues. All right, we'll see you then. Bye-bye.